Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. We've got a great guest here today, author, well-known, wise, Dr. Jill Hubbard's here. And then we also have John Townsend, who is also author, well-known, wise, and head of the Townsend Institute for Leadership and Counseling at Concordia University. Welcome.
Hey, everybody. Welcome.
Now, John, I got a question for you. I put you right on the spot here. There are a lot of things.
What's new about that?
Yeah.
Okay. So here's the spot. There are a lot of things that people think are unique about their approach to leadership and all. And, and a lot of times it's kind of the same stuff and different. But your approach to leadership has value. It's not like a knockoff of somebody or something. Talk about what you think is really important. And when people hear this, I think then they say, oh, well, no wonder there's an institute for this kind of leadership. But what's important in the area of leadership?
We think what makes – you're right, Steve, there's a lot of approaches. And what we believe makes ours what's called a unique value is that we make it two things. We make it simple. One is you got to have the competence, the task skills, strategy, vision alignment, execution, all those values, all those things. You got to have the tasks well of leadership. But the second part is the people skills. How do you motivate people?
Yeah.
How do you get the best out of them? How do you make them feel like they belong? How do you know how to challenge them? So many programs are great with the task part, strategy, finances, front door, back door, marketing, but you don't get the people skills. We go deeply into getting the best because the research says high-performing organizations, whether it be a corporation, a family-owned business, or church, they work better, much better, when their people are aligned because the leader gets them.
Now, what do you do, John? Do you ever come across somebody that you think, hey, maybe you were called to be a follower and not necessarily a leader? But is there a calling, or can anybody learn how to be a leader?
Yeah, the research has moved to anybody can be a leader. You might be leading your two kids, you might be leading in helping your customers and that sort of thing. Because leading is basically helping people do things they wouldn't do without you. If they can do X without you and you can give them the Y, you're leading. So we really have a broad definition. I think God wants everybody to be a leader of someone and influence somehow.
Yeah, I think that's really good. And just when you think you're not leading, I guarantee you there are people that are watching. They are looking at what you're doing, and they're observing. And so really, really important. Well, we all talk about being a servant leader, and that just sounds really good. But, a lot of times people that preach servant leadership, they're not really servants. And I've loved your servant heart, and you've always been available and accessible to people. And I want to encourage people to check out the Townsend Institute for Leadership and Counseling. You can get a degree, a bachelor's, master's, and then how's the PhD thing?
The PhD in counseling is coming up next quarter. The PhD in leadership should be coming up the year after that. So from womb to tomb.
Yeah. So one day people just say, "Where? What's your PhD in, Townsend?" Well, what do you mean? Well, we just studied his life, his death.
I hope not.
He had cats.
Exactly.
We studied his cats.
That'd be a boring story.
Yeah. Townsend Institute. Check it out, really. What's the website, John?
Just townsendinstitute.com. Fully online, fully accredited, relationally based, and moderately priced.
I just wanted to know the website. But John, John's going to be with us with Brains, TMI. Boundaries, Brains, Boundaries, Battles, and the Bible, December the 5th.
There you go.
I'll tell you what, I mean, it's got teaching, counseling, everything.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, Steve Arterman. I just want to take a minute to talk about this because it is pretty fantastic. On December the 5th, it's Brains with Dr. Amen, Boundaries with John Townsend and Henry Cloud, both there, Battles with Steve Arterburn, and then The Bible by Sheila Walsh. Mm. It's online, and there are 8 teaching sessions and then 5 group process sessions. And then after that, 4 weekly phone coaching sessions after the workshops, all included in this. And, you know, if you've been looking for something that just might make your life better, this could be it. And really, to me, that is the standard of something that we do on a weekend or, you know, is it going to make things better? And a lot of people, you know, they do stuff and it just makes them more miserable. They're more aware of whatever problem they have. But we've got some great solutions here, and you're just never going to find anything like this again. It's called Brains, Boundaries, Battles, and the Bible, December 5th. John Townsend will be with us. Dr. Henry Cloud, I hope you'll sign up soon. Well, how about we go to Valerie from Los Angeles, California. Valerie listens on the New Life app, meaning that she can listen to this program anytime she wants. Valerie, how are you? You're on with Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Jill Hubbard, and Steve Arterburn here. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm struggling a little bit. I have a new diagnosis that I wasn't really sure of at the time, but my therapist diagnosed me with PTSD. Mm-hmm. I thought I had anxiety, so she said that I was just hiding the PTSD really well, and thinking that it was anxiety.
What's the source of the trauma that has been identified here?
PTSD, for everybody in our listening family, is post-traumatic stress disorder. So please, yeah, Valerie, tell us what the trauma was, or whatever you can say.
I don't even know. That's the thing. It's like so much, so jumbled up. Of just my childhood, of just thing after thing after thing, and I didn't really start seeking counseling until 3 years ago. My dad, I was already an adult, tried to have sexual relations with me.
Oh my goodness! Wow.
So did you just say you didn't know the source of the trauma? Yeah, and I guess it's because I feel minimized. Mm-hmm. All the time, and so with this, I did feel better, like that I wasn't crazy. Yeah. But now I feel so overwhelmed that I'm afraid of myself. Yeah. I don't know what to do.
All right, well, you've called the right place. John, you want to get us started here?
Yeah, do you mind if I ask a question or two to get this going, Valerie?
Sure.
Okay.
Fine.
If you're already seeing a therapist, that's great. What does your therapist say? Because we want to make sure what we're doing is aligned with good therapy. What does he or she say you should be doing now?
She always tells me I'm doing a great job and that she's really proud of me. And like she says that she sees that I try really hard to move forward and always is encouraging me that I'm moving forward. But when I'm by myself, I feel afraid of myself. Like I don't know what's going to happen next. And
You're hypervigilant. Hypervigilant means that the adrenal glands are flushing all the time because you're so scared, because the past stuff is coming up and it's becoming the present stuff, and that makes us like super, super, super scared and vigilant. Have you told your therapist about that? Like between sessions, have you told her, this is how I am between sessions? Does she know that?
She does, but she doesn't. To me, it seems like she just thinks that's normal. And I get it. Like, maybe that is with PTSD, but at the same time, I feel like I'm not able to manage myself.
Well, I'm going to keep saying stuff to drive you back. I like your therapist. I like what I'm hearing. And I'm going to keep saying stuff that kind of drives you back to a better healing relationship with her. Okay, Valerie? People that have minimized abuse, will often minimize their own pain. So if your therapist has said to you, well, that's normal, then you need to stand up for Valerie. And every good therapist gets this. You need to stand up for Valerie and say, no, Dr. Smith, it doesn't feel normal. I thank you that you're encouraging me, but I'm really scared of what's going to bubble up inside me and thoughts and feelings that are terrifying me. So let's don't say it's normal. You have to push back a bit and educate her on what it's like for you in between sessions. And she's got her 10,000 hours to help you. So we'll help you. We're going to help you with the in-between. But go back to her and say, sometimes I kind of minimize, and when you say it's normal, I feel like I want to be a good client, and I'm like a little girl, and I'm very compliant, but I haven't been really telling you it's not normal, and I hate it, and you need to help me. So that's the first piece of advice. Bring that back to her. But the team here, we're going to help you with a few things. So
quick question, Valerie. Is this therapist a trauma specialist? Do you know?
She is, and she does EMDR. But we mm-hmm. haven't been able to do it yet because we do like phone sessions.
Okay. All right. Jill, you have something you want to throw in here?
Well, you know what, Valerie? During a time like this when things are coming up, you need a lot of containment.
There you go.
And so if you are feeling traumatized in between sessions, that's important to communicate. And sometimes, you know, I have found that people need contact more frequently during this time. So it's not uncommon to go twice a week to mm-hmm. therapy, to have that extra contact or to have phone contact in between. I mean, you're already doing phone sessions, but to have some kind of even a shorter time. Because, if you were violated by someone that you were supposed to trust, it's going to make it really hard, even though you like your therapist, but to fully trust her. And so, you know, you need some help with that. And that's where the anxiety is. You want to trust her, right? But you're feeling so bad that it's counterintuitive to what you've done your whole life, which is probably to shut down any of those feelings and to not let yourself be aware.
Yeah.
So in you becoming more aware, which is part of the process, you need some more frequent contact.
Here's what I want you to be aware of, Valerie. You still with us here?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. So, you know, you hear statistics like, 20% of the people are going to have a depression episode this year, or 30% of the people struggle with anxiety. The people that have been approached by an adult father sexually have been, it's like 0.00001%. It's just, this hardly ever happens. It's a very rare thing, what you've been through. And so the fact that you're upset that all of this is happening inside of you, that's what is normal. You know, it is that you're reacting to something that's really, really serious. But here's what I want you to leave believing about yourself. There are people that can help you. You don't have to lose control. You're not going to be lost forever. But it just may, you, like Jill's saying, you may need a little more help than is being recommended. So you've got to be really honest about your feelings of being out of control or whatever it is. But we feel for you because hardly anybody in the entire world has had to deal with something like this. It's complicated. It's complex. It's very, very difficult.
And it's helpable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's tremendous help. Not by yourself, because, it's just like I don't drink, but I couldn't stop drinking by myself. I needed other people around me. And then something that seemed like it was impossible became totally possible. So this is not going to overwhelm or consume you if you'll be honest. And here's what I would do, if nothing else. I'd call my therapist and just say this. I think I might need to see you 2 times a week. And then when you're with her face to face, you tell her, hey, I'm just really, this word containment, I'm having a hard time containing all of this, and I need additional help.
Steve, there's one other piece I'd add to this for you, Valerie, is ask your therapist, I think I need maybe some friends that I can call when I can't get hold of you that know how to handle mm-hmm. me when I'm afraid of mm-hmm. bad thoughts and bad feelings. And Dr. Smith, can you tell me what things to look for in those people? And she'll yeah. say something like, well, they'll know when it's gone too far and you need to page your therapist. Or she'll say, they know when to listen, or they know when to encourage, they know when to be silent. Ask her what things that she believes those three people need. Then mm-hmm. recruit your three friends and say, I'm going through a really hard time, and maybe for the next few months, can you be my 3 a.m. friend? I'll try not to put too much on you. But I'm telling you, when you go to Ecclesiastes 4, Valerie, it says, woe to you if you don't have anybody to lift you up when you fall down. And we need somebody besides a good therapist, the body of Christ, to pick you up. Ask her what the attributes are and recruit three.
I was going to add to that. Other forms of containment are close friends, groups
are great.
Groups that you can go to, which also offer people to call who have gone through similar things.
And your therapist might have groups in a referral list.
Right, right. Excuse me. And books. Mm-hmm. So that you can read about it, so it helps to make you feel not alone.
Yeah, it's a season, Valerie. You're in the early seasons because yeah. it's emerging, because it's now safe enough. It won't last forever. Mm-mm. It's a season. So these are things to do to get you past the season.
One final thing. Have you ever taken medication for anything?
I've taken antidepressants for a short time, and that's really actually why I was calling, was because I was afraid of myself without having anything, that I didn't know if I should take medication.
Well, the reason
I think I need it.
Well, the reason that I was bringing this up, I think that would be helpful
mm-hmm.
to get you through this really tough time. It might help you just clear up your thinking, and then you're making good, strong decisions. Because this is such a serious, serious kind of trauma. That
yeah, like an anti-anxiety. Mm-hmm. Ask your therapist to find a referral to give yeah. you to see if you need a good anti-anxiety, or maybe
used as needed.
There
perhaps.
You go.
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad you brought that up, Valerie. That was good self-care when you mm-hmm. said that to us. Way to go. You took control of yourself there.
All right. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back. I think you're going to like it. I think it's going to help you. And I'm going to send you a Restoration Bible. It's the latest Bible I've been a part of. I think it can really help you with some concepts that'll restore you back to where you want to go. But, man, I'm so glad you called. And what a great lesson for all of us. You know, when the Bible says God won't give you anything that you can't handle, it doesn't say that you can't handle by yourself.
There you go.
You're going to need some help for certain things, and it just may not be easy. It may be really tough, but you'll get through it if you'll reach out and get some help. 1-800-NEW-LIFE is a great place to call to get some help. We'll find the best counselor we can find for you in your area, or the resource that we think would be best for you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's the number. All right, let's go to Judy. Judy is calling us from Philadelphia, and she listens to us online. Hi, Judy. How are you today?
Good, good. How are you guys doing?
Doing all right, yeah. What's going on?
All right. Well, the reason I'm calling is it's about my relationship with my husband. I've been married 27 years, and next month he'll be 2 years sober from alcohol, which is great. He's handling that really well, but earlier this year, he confessed to me that he has been having online chatting with other women and, you know, explicit pictures and videos and stuff, and something that I, you know, had really no idea he was doing that. He always said he was busy working, and I guess he wasn't always working.
I'm so sorry.
I got your book, Every Man's Battle. I read it, found it very helpful for me to understand the way he's thinking. So I gave it to him to read, but I want to say, like, he probably only got about halfway through it. And I think he feels like it's not really that big a deal, but I do. So I'm kind of at a point now where I don't know where do I go from here. Do I just continue to tolerate it?
No!
Give it to God.
Zero toleration here. We're going to help you with this.
Okay. because it's just, I'm having a really hard time.
Yes, it's awful and hurtful and wounded.
I just feel like our relationship is more just like an obligation to him versus that true, you know.
There's a reason for that.
And stuff.
And when we come back, Steve, I know what he's going to say, and it's the right answer. See you soon.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. You know, just off the top of my head, I was thinking, you know, every therapist is really a trauma specialist, even if they don't have training there. I know you guys may disagree with me, but
I think that's a good point. They all have good, competent training. Yeah. Some are specialists for the harder specialty cases, all therapists are trained. Good point, Steve. All trained therapists in trauma.
So now we got that out of the way. Let's go back here to Judy. Judy.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was on the phone with the staff of First Baptist Church Houston just this morning, and we were talking about this very thing. What do you do when you find out that this husband that means so much to you has a little porn problem? Let me tell you what happens. They did a research project. They found there's kind of an ethical thing here I question, but they did this project. They found these guys in their 20s that had never, ever looked at pornography, and they exposed them to pornography for 3 weeks. That's all. They went from things like equal rights for women. 74% thought that there should be equal rights for women. After 3 weeks of pornography, 24%. Only 24% thought women should have equal rights. Mm. Why? Because it doesn't just objectify and dehumanize. It puts you in a place of inferior position. Now, there's another thing that compounds this. When we have a sexual experience, we release this hormone, oxytocin. It's a bonding hormone. It's the thing that makes us have this feeling of well-being after we have a sexual experience. It's the same hormone that the cave woman nursing her little baby would be secreting, and that bonds her to that baby supernaturally. But it also does something else. Supernaturally, she is motivated to attack anything that's a threat to what she's bonded to, her baby. When a man is a pornified man and having sexual experiences with pornography, he gets bonded to the pornography. But the person that he chose to marry, the person he loves so much, is now a threat to what he's bonded to. And he doesn't understand, why is it I can't stand my wife now? It's because of this bonding process with pornography. Your husband must go to every man's battle. He must get involved in an ongoing recovery group, or you don't have a marriage, and you're just going to be used is what you're going to be dealing with. Now, we talked about this, too. A man often will live up to the expectation of a woman, and if you are not convinced with what he must do to keep this marriage alive, then he's probably not going to do anything. And if you're afraid to make a demand on him, he has betrayed you. He's broken the vow. He's reached out to other women. He's had experiences with others, not just pornography. You really, really do need to demand that he get some help from you. John, what are you thinking? Jill,
let me just say, Judy, and he's doing so well in his sobriety from alcohol because he has another substance, and that's the oxytocin that Steve is talking about. Mm-hmm. He's getting those emotional and, you know, hormonal hits from it. So what he did for his sobriety for alcohol, that's what he needs to do now with this cross addiction, because it's just a continuation. You know, he's really not sober right now, if you think about it. He's not using alcohol.
Which leads us to point three, which is every spouse says, I can't get him to get help. I know you guys are right about all this, but I can't. And that's kind of why we lateral to the boundaries guy. Because you've got to look at the get the book Boundaries. We'll send it to you. That's whatever you want there.
We will.
And there are principles in there. And here's the big picture is you can't make him go, but you can help him be motivated to go by loving, consistent boundaries. It may be, I can't be close to you. It may be your vulnerability. It may be, I'm not sure we can be together. There's all kinds of little boundaries and big boundaries. Mm-hmm. But a guy that's read a quarter of a book, I'm kind of mad at him. I'm sorry. I need to confess. A guy that's read a quarter of a book that's devastating his wife is kind of, it kind of bugs me. And it shows a lack of motivation. Yeah. And so with that kind of sort of laissez-faire, it's not that big a deal, I think that your entreaties and, hey, please get help, I kind of worry a bit that it might not work. So maybe time for some boundaries to help him to get on God's operating table. We can have the full healing for himself in your marriage.
And you know what? It doesn't matter what he's doing. The fact that something bothers you and he doesn't immediately say, oh, wow, well, let's... Yeah. We better deal with that. I had no idea. It shows that something is really, really messed up in this marriage here that needs to be taken care of, because he doesn't care enough to even have compassion and want to know what it is that he's doing or he has done that's caused you to have this kind of concern. So that in itself, at least the two of you, need to be getting some help.
There you go.
Together. But don't settle for nothing. Don't settle for him saying, oh, it's really not that big a deal. It is a big deal. It's everything right now. Okay? All right. I'm going to send you boundaries. I hope that that'll be helpful. And then I'm going to send you another book. He didn't finish Every Man's Battle. How about this? Worthy of Her Trust. Let me send that one to you. And you hand that to him and you say, read this, Mr. Non-Caring, about how I feel about anything. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come right back. Hey, guys, come on. There is this life of integrity, connection. It's the dream life. And it's not found in pornography. But you can get that life. You just have to get up something you love to start.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the Transformation Welcome Gift, which includes a personal-sized Life Recovery Bible, a Life Recovery Journal, and 5 Life Recovery Workbooks. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life Video Library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and man, I tell you, I just don't think men know the devastation that pornography causes. You know, we talk to women all the time that say, this is worse than if he had had a real affair. You know, a real affair, that woman, you know, I can compete with that, but I can't, this pornographic experience. Well, Larry Sonnenberg is in the studio. He goes to Every Man's Battle every time we do it, or almost every time we do it. And Larry, you have a testimony?
I had this prepared early this morning, so just the timing here is just, I think, perfect, because listening to Judy's call, this gentleman, his name is Rob, he wrote this after the workshop. I had no idea what to expect, but I was highly, in all caps, highly doubtful that it would be life-changing. I would have been happy with the tools to intercept my misbehavior. Wow. My life will never be the same in more aspects than marriage. My parenting will change. My interaction with friends will change. My self-image is something I couldn't imagine. Praise God for this workshop. It's truly a miracle manufacturer.
There you go.
Wow.
So, I love that.
So cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, folks, that's why we want to do this radio program. We want to get the word out. That's why we do our workshops. It changes lives forever. Mm-hmm. Mm. And we need support to keep it going. We know that it will continue for a long time. God's been faithful for 32 years to keep this ministry going. And through you, he'll keep it going 32 years plus more. So
amen.
You can give a single gift, that would be great. You can join Club New Life, that would be great. God works through people, and I think he's working through you right now, tapping you on your shoulder, say, today's that someday I said I would donate. So
a few less lattes.
There you go.
Just a few. Mm-hmm. It'll make a big difference.
And thank you for everybody who is giving, making
amen.
A difference.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, I'm so glad. You know, we do this. And we're kind of like dirty jobs in the Christian community. You know that show, Dirty Job. We
gosh,
deal
with, so true.
We deal with these tough things because we've seen people with the toughest of problems make so much progress, and we love seeing this transformation. And it's possible for anybody. You think it's impossible? It is not. It's possible for anybody. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And maybe it's someone you love that needs this. Okay, well, you take the first shot at it, and then we'll help you.
We're only a couple weeks away from the next Everyman's Battle online workshop.
All you got to do is get the patient on the operating table, and the magic happens. It's been researched. This thing's been going on a long time. It's miraculous. You got to get them on the table, and then don't worry about it.
Yeah, there's no laughing gas, but I'm telling you, once they're on the table, we can help them get better. That's what we can do.
Yep.
All right, and Every Man's Battle coming right up. We would love for you to come and be part of that, or somebody that you love. We also got the Marriage Intensive coming up, too. And those are both in October. The dates are these. October the 10th is Every Man's Battle, and then October the 24th is our Marriage Intensive. Boy, they do change lives. 1-800-NEW-LIFE is the number that you call. Let's go. How about we talk with Marie, Columbus, Ohio, WNIV. Thank you, Larry. WNIV is the station. Hi, Marie. How are you today?
Hi, it could be better. Columbus, Georgia.
Oh, sorry about that. Columbus, Georgia. Yes. Well, welcome. How can we help?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for all the good work that you guys do on a regular basis for all of us.
Thank you. Such a
support just to hear. You know, we always know that we're going to get something that's useful for you from your station. I'm calling about my 32-year-old daughter who... I guess the question would be how, and I know you're going to ask me that because I'm a regular listener. So my question is...
you're starting with the magic word, aren't you?
Yep.
How?
How do I redirect without feeling as though I am actually trying to rescue my daughter every time she has or make poor decisions for herself.
Okay, so what's her situation?
So currently the situation is, and I might want to add, she was adopted when she was 6 months old. she's had a history of domestic violence, which we had to rescue her from that.
I'm sorry.
Luckily, it was started right when she went off to college, and it lasted about 8 years. And then after we got counseling for her with that, there was just choices of men thereafter, three or four relationships back to back to back that was really, really people that were taking advantage of her for the most part and separating her. They always came in and separated her from us. And they were, I wouldn't say abusive, but they were more like emotional abusive than physical abusive.
Yeah. Okay. So what was, what were things like your last conversation you had with her? Tell us about the last conversation that you had with her.
Where she brought up a struggle.
No, she didn't. It was just a normal conversation I had with her 24 hours ago.
Well, the last one where she brought up a struggle.
A struggle.
Well, you're worried about redirecting versus rescue, and that's about struggle. So what's the last talk, Steve's wanting to know, that a problem came up that she talked about, and you were kind of conflicted between redirect and rescue?
It was actually when she decided to leave the relationship of this last gentleman, and she didn't know if she had made the right decision, and she kept questioning herself, and okay. because she was going through so much pain.
And what did you tell her?
That it was a great decision. We were very proud of her for making that decision. And I think she realized it was the best decision after about a couple of months of going through the pain.
Okay. All right. Well, let's start with Jill here. Jill, what do you think would be a good way to for this mom
well,
to help a daughter who needs it?
Yeah, I think, Marie, a good kind of thing to keep in mind is you don't do for someone what they need to do for themselves. That being said, if someone is incapable of doing something for themselves, then you offer supportive help if they are willing to have the help. So certainly when she was in an abusive situation and she was needing help, it was good to come alongside her and help her out of that. As she subsequently picks these poor relationships, I think, you know, and just hearing your last conversation about this, like, allowing her to talk through and asking her questions about the relationship and then validating what she is saying when she is making a good decision. I think you handled that well in that incident. She has to learn. Mm-hmm. So she's not going to learn by you just telling her what's right. She's got to think it through for herself, and that's where you can help her. That isn't rescuing. That's just helping someone process. The uh-huh. other thing I might do, since she kind of has a history of this, and, you know, for some reason, some people just don't have that discernment, is has she been in therapy? That's something.
She has been in therapy.
Okay. Because that would be something that I think you could say, sweetheart, you know, we want to come alongside you, you know, we'd be willing to help out with some therapy. Again, helping her to learn and to grow. That's what you want to draw out of her.
Yep.
So may I just kind of give you a tad bit of what the situation is right currently? So she wanted to do a good deed for her friend and to let her friend move in with her, which is she has a very small place, her and her son. However, the friend ends up bringing in some other individual, and it's a very bad vibe that you get from all of them, because they're talking about goddesses, the gods, and that's not what my daughter has ever known. And she's talking about this a lot more, that she's a goddess since she's met these people, and that you know, that there are spirits, and you know, there are rocks and things that bring in the energy, and you know, it's scary. Actually, because it almost seems cult-like to me.
So she's easily influenced by others.
You know,
she's kind of a people pleaser and easily influenced.
She's kind of strong-willed. That's why it's hard to believe that, you know, that she doesn't see this.
Yeah. Because
well, maybe
you're
she sees
someone
it.
Who's rather naive.
Maybe she sees it, but she's so wanting to belong. You know, that she just goes along with things that are kind of surprising. I don't know. Or maybe she really has, in her rebellion, just forsaken everything that she's ever believed before. Really sad, you know. How old are the kids? How old are her children?
Well, she only has one son, and he's six.
He's six, all right. We'll give you some help right after this. Really glad that you've called. You're listening to New Life Live. 1-800-NEW-LIFE literally could change your life. We'll be back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. We're talking with Marie. Tough situation. Not really taking care of the kids and really, I mean, the child.
Well, allowing a lot of influences.
Yeah.
And
then, right.
No, I think she takes care of the child very well.
Oh, good.
My husband and I, our biggest concern, even though my husband is taking a different perspective, and he's not really the rescuer type or the give the emotional support. He is wanting to let her stay out of it and let her learn and just fall flat on her face, basically. But it's hard because this young lady that she allowed to come in has not only come in with her daughter, but she's come in also with her boyfriend and his little one-year-old daughter.
Yeah, okay. So what do you think? I mean, is this the time to do what Dad's saying and let her fall on her face, or is this the time to try to think of another approach that might work with her? What do you guys think?
I got three ideas for you, Marie, in terms of this question. Typical with kids in their 30s that aren't doing well is do I rescue, do I just redirect? I would do none of that. Here's what I would do. First thing I would do is I would retire from being her source for life and support. And I'm just going to be on the team.
We don't support it at all.
What?
We don't support her at all.
I didn't mean financial.
Okay.
A lot of times we want to be their lifeline. That's the person that, if you're a 30-year-old child, you're the first person they call because you're the first responder. You got a problem. It's not God's created order. It's not anything. You want to be part of the team. You need to be like the fourth person that she calls. Because there's a team of people as she grows up, and like Jill said, you don't want her to regress into dependency on you because she'll be 50 and still having these problems, so we don't want that. So, number one, and this is not something you tell her. I'm just talking about how you handle her. So you retire as her lifeline source. You're on the team, but you're not the primary source of love, wisdom, encouragement. Second thing is that you empathize. Empathize and just say, this sounds horrible and sad and tough. Third, in big issues, you give your opinion. Hey, I think the goddess thing doesn't fit with Christian theology. I want you to rethink it, but it's up to you. So you give your opinion on issues like that. And fourth, you direct her to help. A good shrink, a good church. Have you got enough friends? If you do those three things, you're doing the very best you can for your daughter and for your granddaughter.
Yeah, I really believe that to be true. Jill, you have a thought here? Grandson. Yeah. You have a thought here, Jill?
Well, I like that, John. I like those tips. I think you're in a position where you don't get to control what she does and who she has moving in. So I think John's remedy is really the best stance, and it may go...
But it wasn't like, well, like what husband says...
No, it's not exactly
She's got to have your opinion.
Yeah.
Husband's wrong about that.
Yeah, and I like that you get to be part of the team, and you get to have a voice, just as she's an adult and she gets to have a voice, and you're just relating to her in that way.
You know, we had an earlier call, if you were here, Marie, and... We were talking about somebody having a really struggle, and her therapist was a decent, sounded a really good therapist. And we kept coming saying, well, have you asked her this? Have you asked her this? So a good parent doesn't say, well, I think you ought to do X, Y, Z. If it's a psychological emotional issue, they go, what does your shrink say? Well, she says this. Well, good idea. Why don't you do it? Refer back to others, and you stop being the primary source of love, and you allow her to leave and cleave, which is God's plan.
Or what do you think, sweetheart?
There's another
one. Help me understand how you came to that.
We stay away from that that advice mode, and we're the conduit for help. We're the conduit for love. We are not the source anymore, or the primary source.
Right.
Okay.
There you go.
Gotcha.
That's your game plan.
Thank you so kindly.
All right, Marie.
Thank you so kindly.
All right, so I'm going to send you this book by John, Growth Has No Boundaries, and then I'm going to send you a Bible story book that I wrote with Marcus Brotherton, Kirby McCook, and the Jesus Chronicles, one book of the year for juvenile nonfiction. I'll send that to you.
For the six-year-old boy?
Yeah, for you to read to your grandson.
Very cool. Yeah.
And I think it'll be a winner, and there's some truths in there that actually are transformational that maybe old mom will... here and have a different viewpoint on life, because I'll tell you, the Bible is never ever wrong. It's right, it's true, it's real, and we either base our life on feelings or our own pseudo wisdom or on God's truth, and I've tried them all. God's truth really does work. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, we'd love to help you today. And only you can call. We do not have a list of people that have problems that we should be calling. We rely on you to go ahead and give us the call, and we'll help you.
Yeah.
But you have to call. And I know that phone, when you need to call for help, it weighs about 500 pounds, but do it anyway, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We want to help you, and we do that. We have counselors around the country. We have resources. We have workshops that truly are life-changing. Our intensives are just amazing, whether it's marriage or recovery or getting some help with getting over his problem, that's Restore, or the marriage intensive where we help you learn about each other in ways you never even dreamed. But you have to call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, we are excited about our Brains, Boundaries, Battles, and the Bible on December the 5th. And John's going to be part of that, and we'd love for you to sign up early. And you can do that at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You know, guys, we're getting close to this election time, and we were just talking in our ministry here that when the election occurs, you know, about half the people are really not going to be happy the day after.
Pretty much.
Yep. And maybe this election more unhappy than ever before. I don't know who will win, have no idea. But I think it's really important for us whenever we encounter somebody as we're approaching this election and they're really angry or, you know, I'm going to do this or that, we just help people to come to this place of acceptance. You know, that's what grown-ups do. They grieve the loss and they find a way to accept reality. I think we really ought to be the ones stepping out with that kind of conversation about, well, you know, what are we going to do so that we can accept this if our team loses? And I have no idea who's going to win.
Steve, what should we tell the 50% that are happy?
Be responsible.
There you go.
And don't be prideful. And you know, here's
Steve, why don't you run for president? I mean, but you really have the balance there, man. I'm serious. Well, why don't you think about that?
And here's the other thing. Don't catastrophize thinking that it's the end of the world. You know, God has used many, many rulers over time that have been evil to accomplish
good ones and bad ones.
His work. Mm-hmm. And so it's not going to be the end of the world. And just we want to help our folks get through that. So I want you to be thinking about acceptance if in case of loss, and then responsible response to others and empathy if you happen to be on the winning side. Jill, you had
Well, and
there?
That God is bigger than all of this, and he's got it in
He has
control.
Not fallen off his throne.
Right, and sometimes we need to take that perspective instead of getting so caught up in the details.
Reminds me of that VeggieTales song, God is bigger than the boogeyman. And when you just said that, I don't know why I thought of
that. That is a good one for the selection.
Yeah. One of my favorites. Hey, we love you. We care about you. But we know life is not easy. And it has never, ever in my life been more difficult than half the stuff's open, half's closed, and we don't know if we're going to shut back down. And it's really a tough time. If you're having a tough time, you're not alone. You're not weird for having a tough time. People that aren't having any kind of tough time, I kind of wonder about them. You know,
they're causing tough times.
Yeah, there you go. They're the donors of the tough time. Hey, call us if we can help you, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I'll see you at 5 o'clock on Facebook Live, Thursday at 11 a.m., Life Recovery Today. We love you. We care about you. Call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thank you, John. Thank you, Jill. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.